Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Flash the two, Governor Doug Ducey, even if you have no idea why we're doing it. That's right. He did it.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
It's Doug and Wolf here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And as most of you know, each hour of the Doug and Wolf show, we're flashing the one, two, the three, or the four. And we're in hour number two of the show. And, you know, we're going to have a little fun. The 7 o'clock hour completely loaded today. NFL insider John Clayton coming up at 7:30. And Steve Keim, GM of the Cardinals, at 7:45. Everybody's working for the weekend. But what we want to do that's a little different, and if the Democratic challenger wants to come in too, that's fine. But we want to talk. We want to get to know the political candidates in a sports environment.
Oh, I see.
Because then you're people. So not the real issues that you argue on news stations. And Doug Ducey has just walked in, the governor of the fine state of Arizona. Governor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me. You guys get up real early in the morning.
3:30. So if you would like to enforce the laws and make sure people don't drive in the left lane from Goodyear, that would be a big help, Governor.
Big lover boy fan, are you?
Not a lover boy fan, but it's amazing how they've lived off working for the weekend. I went and saw the Who for Halloween at Sun Devil Stadium.
Wow.
And it was John Cougar Mellencamp, then Loverboy, then the Who. Loverboy opened up for the Who, and John Cougar Mellencamp opened up for Loverboy. Things have changed.
Oh, my goodness.
The best way to probably get reelected is to announce that you're not on the Loverboy train. So that was a pretty good move by you, both politically and personally. Well, we're going to stick it to you right from the beginning from a political standpoint. Josh Rosen or Sam Bradford, which campaign are you behind?
Well, I defer to Steve Wilks on this. We're playing Chicago this weekend, and Sam Bradford is a great athlete. He's had a great career. Something's up with the Cardinals. I think it's more than a quarterback. I think we got to give Sam one more start. And my concern is Josh is our future quarterback. We're talking about him as a franchise quarterback, as a future Kurt Warner. So I'm just concerned here, We know something's wrong. We know Steve Keim will make adjustments. We think we got a real winner in this new head coach. But yeah, the last couple weeks have been concerning.
Boy, that is good stuff right there, Governor. That was an excellent answer.
I've been thinking about this a lot.
It's the topic of all the state. And then last night with the Browns victory, I don't know if you do it as governor, but if things start getting hot in another state and they have and things are going well, you can't help but say, okay, is that going to work here?
Well,
How does Steve Wilks not doing the same thing today?
I know the joy that brings to many of the people of Ohio. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have been like the Chicago Cubs of Ohio. They've been the lovable losers. And, the Jets, though, are different than the Bears, okay? Mm-hmm. And Baker Mayfield is showing he's going to be Baker Mayfield. But this was the New York Jets, so let's not get too excited. Cleveland got a victory. Good for them.
Talk a little bit about State Farm Stadium, right? I mean, honestly, some of the events that have been scheduled, right, and some of the things going on in the state of Arizona, man. You got to be excited about
that. Oh, we're really excited about that. We've got another Super Bowl coming. We've got another college football national championship. We've got another NCAA Final Four. And this is something where Michael Bidwell, the owner of the Cardinals, has been a huge help to me as governor because he loves to pitch the state. He loves to get in front of these decision makers. And I think that's a competitive advantage for our state that we have a governor that wants to make this pitch. And we've got leaders in the private sector like Michael Bidwell. And they've renamed the stadium State Farm. State Farm's made a huge investment in the state of Arizona. They've got thousands of employees. The investment that they've made in Tempe, right in the shadow of Sun Devil Stadium,
yeah.
it's a real positive.
We're talking to Doug Ducey, governor for the state of Arizona, and we believe this. And feel free to tweet us and tell us what you think. I love this idea of having a candidate come in, talk sports with us so you can get to know him as a person. But you do bring up one real-life political conversation that does matter to sports fans, and it's a dividing topic, and that is the topic of should taxpayers be paying for stadiums and arenas, because you just described State Farm Stadium of how outstanding it's been for the region. We have a D-backs issue. We have a Suns and Coyotes issue. We have the downtown versus tribal land issue. We have going out to suburbs issue. You care about the whole state, But what's the right way for us to stay competitive, but at the same time alleviate taxpayer concerns?
Sure, I do care about the whole state, and we're fortunate in this state that we have the four major sports, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. Likely, we'll have soccer. And I think it differentiates a state. I mean, what's one of the biggest differences between Arizona and New Mexico? What's one of the biggest differences between Phoenix and Albuquerque? And I would say it's 1968 when Jerry Colangelo and the Phoenix Suns came here, and we became a major league sports town, and the Cardinals follow, and the Diamondbacks follow, and the Coyotes follow. So the state has made the decision that they did want those stadiums, and taxpayers got involved, but now we have those stadiums. Mm. And I think and we've got a booming economy, and we've got very successful owners. So I think that the taxpayers should get out of the stadium business, and the owners and the communities, and you can work with local municipalities, cities, and counties on things around relocation or when there's different design changes that you need. But we have four major sports, likely five very soon. I'd like to see that. And one of the fastest growing states in the country. You know, mm-hmm. Maricopa County is the fastest growing county in the nation. There's 3,144 counties in this country. That's very competitive amongst governors. So right now we're in first place.
Governor, in terms of Arizona, of course, and sports in Arizona and how it impacts our economy, talk a little bit about former Senator John McCain, of course, and the passing of John McCain and his legacy here in the state.
Well, John McCain is an irreplaceable United States Senator. He was an Arizona treasure. Mm-hmm. I think many of us are from someplace else, myself included. And when we traveled and tell people we're from Arizona, they'd know two things: John McCain and the Grand Canyon. So imagining Arizona without John McCain mm-hmm. is like picturing Arizona without the Grand Canyon. It's just not natural. This is someone that's going to be irreplaceable. He was Arizona's number one sports fan. He went to the games. He watched the games. He cheered on the teams and was real friends with the players. Larry eulogized him in his funeral, and Larry did an incredible
job. Isn't he fantastic?
Yes. Yeah. So I think John McCain would have a real issue with where we are right now in terms of we want to turn the corner on sports, and we've kind of tasted all this opportunity. We remember the all or nothing season with mm-hmm. the Cardinals.
Yes.
We saw that signature win for the Sun Devils.
All or nothing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, and we were knocking right on the door, and Herm beats Michigan State last week, which gives us a lot of hope. The Diamondbacks, we're six behind with eight to go, so we can still hope for miracles, but we're well above 500. And then
there's political optimism, Governor. There's reality.
Well, and then how about the Suns number one draft pick?
Mm-hmm. So
DeAndre Ayton.
So
goodness.
I want to see the future is bright, but I was channeling John McCain before the show when I said, you know, he used to love to say it's always darkest before it's completely pitch black, and I think we might be in for that this year.
We ought to put that on a plaque somewhere, Governor. You know, just kind of hang it.
But it's
a good reminder to us all.
You sound optimist. So that'll be the last question for you, Governor. Is why? From a sports standpoint, because it's dark right now. I mean, you look at all of our teams, and maybe ASU's the best, but that was a hurtful loss to San Diego State. Why are you positive? Can you ask if I vote for you, will we start getting world championships
well,
again?
Well, we're going to keep competing.
Okay.
I mean, you want to commit on things you can deliver, and that's questions for some of the coaches and GMs that come in here. But I do think it was a big victory against Michigan State mm-hmm. that Herm showed us.
No doubt.
We've seen what the Cardinals can do, and we know the ownership and the leadership and the commitment that the franchise has to winning. The Diamondbacks are knocking on the door. They've led this entire year.
Yep.
And who would you rather be right now than the Phoenix Suns in terms of young talent?
Mm-hmm.
So I do think there's a lot to be hopeful and optimistic. In the business I'm in, it's about delivering results. And nowhere is that more evident than in sports. I say sometimes that people wake up in the morning to see the shortcomings of people on the front page, and then they see the accomplishments of men and women on the sports page. So that's what I like to look at, and that's what I'm hopeful for.
Good to talk
really
to you.
Appreciate you coming.
Thanks for having me in, guys.
Absolutely. No problem. There's your governor of Arizona, Doug Ducey, joining Doug and Wolf to talk about the election and talk mostly sports and have some fun with us. Coming up next, what does Al Holcomb see from the Bears offense? What can the Cardinals do about it? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. All things Cardinals and NFL coming up in 15 minutes with John Clayton, our own personal NFL insider. And then 7:45, we'll ask Steve Keim, general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. Does Baker time have anything to do with the Rosen opportunity?
Well, I can promise you right now, based on our needs, at some point in time, we're going to party. We're going to play some rejoins on the Doug and Wolf Show this morning. Right? We're just going to lose our mind live on the air. Like, we don't do that every morning. Interesting.
But let's flip over to a subject matter we really haven't talked much about. And, okay. And that is Mitchell Trubisky, the Chicago Bears offense, and what the Cardinals defense is going to be doing about it. And I think the number one issue, I think when I look at the Cardinals defense, man, there's a lot of different areas to go.
Yeah.
There's positive and there's negative.
Yes.
If you're the type of person that likes the bad news first, and I am one, the bad news is the organization is still looking for the corner opposite Patrick Peterson.
Yes, of course.
And Al Holcomb was asked about Jamar Taylor.
I think he's trying to make plays. He's a good football player. He's a smart player. We have all the confidence in him. I think that when you get behind in the score a little bit, guys start to press and start try to make plays and do some things that maybe normally they wouldn't do, and they're trying to maybe guess on some things, and we just got to play within the system, play within the scheme, keep our poise, most importantly, and just play the next snap.
It's so interesting right there, because we all know that Bene Benwickery had an unbelievable preseason, right? Just an unbelievable preseason. I thought maybe his snaps would go way up during the regular season, especially since Jamar Taylor had been struggling. Well, that has not really been the case, right? So once again, I think that, more than anything else, is on its way. And I will also say this, Basinonians, there's a lot of teams out there that are looking for a corner opposite their number one corner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that are out there looking for that guy. So I don't think it's just a situation where it's the Arizona Cardinals. I think it's the NFL for the most part.
Now, the other topic that's somewhat negative, you can make it as a compliment if you're a positive, if you're a part of the Gerald Hodges family or something, but is what's going on with Deion Buchanan. And Coach Al Holcomb was asked, okay, why is Hodges playing more?
Well, he's vocal. He's shown some leadership. He's a physical presence right now in the defense for us. He's playing with some of the fundamentals with his hands, hand violence, tackling, those things, getting off of blocks. He understands offensive football a little bit, so that's helped him, increase his snaps on the field.
It's hard to read into that, because we live in a society today where it seems like if you say something about one thing, that automatically means the negative about something else.
Sure.
And not always should it be that way. But when you ask why is Hodges playing more, and he talks about it in those glowing terms, how do you not think, does that mean Deion Buchanan is not doing those exact things that you're asking to do? And a follow-up question was asked of the defensive coordinator, Al Holcomb. Okay, is Hodges doing those things? And really, the play of Hodges, is that the reason Deion isn't playing? And Al Holcomb started to answer it and then kind of started to go into a media answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a constant rotation. You know, Coach talks about it all the time. There's no sense of entitlement. And right now, we're just trying to continue to uncover guys who have that DNA that we're looking for, the physicality, the effort, the communication, all of those kind of things. And as you go into it, you start to learn about different players and what different players' skill sets and what they bring to the table. And right now, Gerald's done a pretty good job of that in terms of stepping up and providing some of those things that we're looking for.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I think they're looking for that physicality once again inside the box. Deion Buchanan, as we all know, a guy that is 218 pounds, 220 pounds, mm-hmm. somewhere in there, right? A guy that we all know started the whole craze of bringing down a guy that was more of a strong safety into the box and playing him on the weak side inside linebacker. And that just has swept all over the National Football League for the most part, right? Started with Todd Bowles, James Betcher really established it here. And then all of a sudden it just took off across the NFL. But again, it makes sense, because the Arizona Cardinals, the thing they have to be able to do, the number one thing, in my opinion, is stop the run defensively. I've talked about it. The chain reaction that it sets off, You can have an offense that operates independent of a defense. As a matter of fact, that's the norm. I was talking to Roy Green about this very thing, the way that an offense is an offense and a defense is a defense. But there are teams, Basinonians, where suddenly that's got to be tied together. One has got to play off the other. The offense has got to play off the defense and the defense off the offense and their strengths. And I think that's where the Arizona Cardinals are. And that's the reason why they've got to be able to stop the run. Because it sets off that chain reaction of everything else that ultimately could make the Arizona Cardinals offense one-dimensional. And when the Arizona Cardinals offense is one-dimensional, that's when you have problems. So because of that, once again, I think the Cardinals need a bigger presence inside. And Deion Buchanan, one of my favorite players. Anybody that has ever listened to this show, you know I love this kid. I love the kid as a football player, and he's a great guy as well. As a man, I respect him greatly. He's light in the pants, and that's the problem. He's a dog, and he's all dog, but he's light. And I think Hodges brings a little bit more bulk, and I think that's what they need.
Those are some of the negative things. Positive, however, how does Marcus Golden look?
He's looked really good. Looked really good. Explosive coming off the ball. Looks good in his pass rush. Looks good setting the edge. He's making progress.
How about that for setting the edge? That's been a major weakness so far this year, is setting the edge. So the obvious question, Al Holcomb, defensive coordinator, will Golden's presence help?
Well, that's what we're looking for, a little bit of juice. He brings that. He brings the energy, the spark. And even you know, regardless of how many snaps he plays, I think just having his presence, him dressed on game day in the locker room, his teammates seeing him, I think that that's going to bring a lot of value for us.
The hardest thing for Marcus Golden is going to be going out there and believing that his knee is going to be fine, that everything's going to be fine. This is going to be a war that is fought in the minds of Jermaine Gresham and Marcus Golden. When you suffer a serious injury like both those guys have suffered, that's what you got to do. You have to overcome that feeling that, you know what, Marcus Golden, if you plant your leg, your ACL isn't going to bust again. It's the mental battle. They're going to fight themselves. If these guys play, which it appears as though they're going to, if these men play this weekend, they're going to be fighting themselves, getting over that serious injury and trusting the fact that their knee or their Achilles isn't going to blow out again. It's a battle that is waged with everybody that faces a serious injury.
I agree.
To me, that's one of the reasons why they're going to go ahead and they're going to limit the snaps as well, right? And hopefully some fresh legs. These two men that are dogs that will fight you to the ground with blood under their nails. These two men are going to provide a juice for the Cardinals emotionally. But physically, I don't know how much impact they'll have.
Come watch the ASU versus UW game with Arizona Sports tomorrow. Cold beer and cheeseburger, Scottsdale Road, just south of the 101 in North Scottsdale. You got ASU gear, tickets to the Oregon State game, other great prizes from Coors Light to give away. Visit the events page for details at arizonasports.com. Steve Keim, general manager, Arizona Cardinals in 15 minutes. Up next, John Clayton, our own NFL insider. After you saw Baker Mayfield, John, are you thinking about Josh Rosen? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Doug and Wolf.
Giving you inside information on the NFL every week.
Dude, what's happening?
NFL insider John Clayton.
Mom, where's dinner?
Joins Doug and Wolf now. Brought to you by Courtesy Chevrolet, serving the Valley for over 60 years. Number one for a reason. Visit CourtesyChev.com.
We've got our own Friday NFL insider that we've talked to for years on Friday mornings. And if you didn't know, it all dates back to a fruit basket, I think it was, that John Clayton delivered to Ron Wolfley.
That's right.
Delivered to Ron Wolfley for Ron Wolfley accomplishing something in your career. Good job, Wolf.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that, Johnny. Still, even to this day.
Good morning, John. How
are you? Good morning. I'm doing well.
Johnny, do you remember what that was, honestly?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, on a special teams play, you took out Brian Bosworth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by taking out Brian Bosworth, I mean, it ended the pain of trying to cover the Bos, of course. So all the guys in the media chipped in and tried to take care of you for taking care of us.
Boy, that was a long, long time ago, Johnny.
That's how long the relationship has been. John Clayton joins us every Friday at 7:30. Okay, Steve Keim's coming up right after you. You know the way you have to answer this question in the media. There's no way Baker Mayfield has any effect whatsoever on the Arizona Cardinals. But you've been covering the league since 72. You know what it's like when there's hype. And this, I don't know if it's going to end up being the 84 draft or anything, but the quarterbacks and the pub Darnold got in week one for his performance, maybe negative on Josh Allen, but still the Buffalo Bills fans are happy that he's there. Now the hype of Baker Mayfield coming off the bench, leading the Browns to their first victory. Is there any chance, with all your years in the media, that you would say, yes, teams, maybe not the Cardinals, look at their surroundings and say, I want some of that? Does that expedite the Rosen process at all?
I mean, I think the thought goes in there, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be the execution of that in going to it. Because think about the reality of it. Okay, now, it was a typical Cleveland Brown game in the sense that here they were playing Sam Darnold. Okay, now Sam Darnold is, you can see, they put him in an unfair position because he's out there playing three games in 11 days. I mean, he gets a Thursday night game after a Sunday game where basically he gets no prep, and I think you can see the problems that it caused. And so that first game has started to dwindle down to a point now where he's basically becoming a 50% thrower and getting less than 20 points. And so the danger of trying to rush a quarterback is that, yeah, he may have that initial success, but then he may start to drop back. And that very well may happen with Baker Mayfield. But where I say it was a typical Browns game, here's Tyrod Taylor out there and he was not getting anything done. And they were trailing. And so Darnold had the lead, and then they get the injury, the concussion on Taylor, and Baker Mayfield comes in, and because you don't have much of a scouting report on him, he comes in and does some great, really good things. He energized the team, he moved the football, he gets the plays, he gets the Philly special that they don't want to call the Philly special. All those things go well, but the danger of doing that is that you put him in, then all of a sudden it starts drifting back if you're trying to rush him. But I think at this moment, he's probably going to continue to play because for Taylor, that's his third concussion in about a year, and so I think that there's a chance that Mayfield gets the keep the job, and we'll see where it goes.
Johnny, just for the record, once again, remind me, why did you and the national media think the Arizona Cardinals were going to struggle again? Why was that?
Well, we thought that there was going to be some offensive woes because, I mean, the changes that were there at the receiving core, was there going to be enough at the receiving core? Was the offensive line going to be good? Were they going to be good enough with Sam Bradford? I think, where everybody so far has been a little bit off, we thought they were going to be better on defense, and that hasn't shown so far in the first couple games. But, I think that, when everybody was kind of picking everything and they were saying probably 6 or 7 wins, and right now this team has to perform much better to get to 6 or 7 wins.
You're exactly right about that. So let's ask the painful question, since you bring a national perspective to our Cardinals. Are the Arizona Cardinals the worst team in the NFL?
They are not, no. No, the Buffalo Bills are, because you can look at the Bills and you can see that they only have 15 players on their 53-man roster that they drafted. I mean, they've chased away so much good talent, and they put themselves in such a bad position. I mean, they trade. Remember, this is their decision. They trade their left tackle, Cordy Glenn, to Cincinnati. Mm. He's done well there. They really have not done a good job of replacing Eric Woods, who had the neck injury at center. And then, of course, they just have weird things happen. They had the weirdest 12-minute halftime I could imagine because, Vontae Davis retires, takes off his uniform and puts his clothes on and walks out, and then they take the play calling ability away from Leslie Frazier. I mean, that's 12 dynamic minutes. So no, I'd say that the Bills are last, and you can start to make an argument maybe the Detroit Lions might be 31st in the league.
Johnny, what can you tell us about Reuben Foster and his return?
Well, I think you're going to see a spark on that defense because they're really needed at the linebacking position because that's one of their thinnest spots. I mean, they go into the season. Malcolm Smith gets hurt with a hamstring in the first game, an outside linebacker. He just is getting back this week. Now they get Foster back, who I think most people thought, as they watched the team last year, he was their best player. And he missed games and all that stuff, and their defense wasn't the same. So he gets back. And so I think you're going to see a little bit of a spark on their defense, which was much needed because they're thin. I mean, people were picking on the other other side of Richard Sherman and having success. They aren't getting the pass rush, and they're starting to get disappointed with their defensive linemen. But now I think they get a spark with Reuben Foster coming back.
John, when should Rosenthal start?
I would think the Rosenthal should start if there's a concession that this is going to be a bad season. And that probably comes by week 7 or 8. You know, if the team's sitting there at 2-6, then I think that's going to be the timetable. You know, injuries play into it. I mean, who knows? Performance plays into it. But I have to think that you need to go half the season before rushing a quarterback. But you know each week that everybody's going to be pushing to get Josh Rosen in.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, when's the last time the Seattle Seahawks were 0-2?
Four times since Pete Carroll's had two road trips to open up a season.
Wow.
So, yeah, because, I mean, it's every time they open up with two road games, they tend to go 0-2. So I guess four times now since 2010.
That's stunning.
Cardinals have problems. Do the Seahawks have more problems, even though they've looked a little better? What's going on in Seattle?
I still contend they're a better team, but they have more problems right now because what's going on is that they just can't get any. And again, they have so many young guys and new guys. I mean, they opened the season with six rookies or first-year players playing 25 plays or more in the game. Then last week, I mean, they had a completely new linebacking core. I mean, here's how crazy it was. Austin Calitro started for Bobby Wagner. I'm sure you've always spoke well of Austin Calitro. And then
Wagner, yes.
Yeah, but then they had to take Michael Kendricks, you know, who has the insider trading plea guilty.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got him on the field at weak side linebacker in literally two practices, you know, after they found out that they're not going to have K.J. Wright. Then they didn't have their starting cornerback Trey Flowers, who was a rookie, so they had to put Akeem King, who was on the practice squad in week one. He was out there at that spot. And then Will Disley, the rookie, has now moved into the starting lineup. They still didn't have DJ Fluker. They couldn't figure out what they were doing at running back because Chris Carson, they said, thought was tired from special teams play. And then what happened with him was that they only had two special teams plays, so I don't know what he was tired about. To get room for more special teams, they had to cut their starting defensive tackle Tom Johnson. He ended up going to the Minnesota Vikings, and now they go into this week. They may not have Justin Britt, probably won't have him with a shoulder injury, and they probably won't have Ethan Posick, their left guard, because of an ankle injury. It's pretty much a mess.
John Clayton, NFL Insider, our very own, every Friday morning at 7:30. Thank you, JC. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, Johnny. Say hello to Pat.
Join Bickley and Murata starting at 10 a.m. today live at the grand opening of the new AT&T store on the corner of Gilbert and Ocotillo in Chandler. You'll have the chance to win D-backs tickets to the final weekend homestand of the season and more. Plus, you can check out the new iPhone 10. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details. Coming up next, General Manager Steve Keim. We'll ask him the same question. When is the right time to make it Rosen time? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Cardinals GM Steve Keim. Keim time. With Doug and Wolf.
Thanks for listening to the Doug and Wolf Show. It's 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Coming up on Sunday, you've got the Arizona Cardinals and the Chicago Bears at State Farm Stadium. Paul will be on the sideline. Wolf will have your color, and Dave Pasch, the play-by-play voice, will have it for you at 1 o'clock. And right now, Steve Keim joins us, as he does on Friday mornings at 7:45 on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. Doing fantastic.
I really appreciate you joining us, Deca. Talk a little bit about Sam Bradford. Of course, everybody, Steve, is talking about the way that he looked in the first couple of games, the inaccuracies that are there. What are you seeing as general manager?
Well, I think the film speaks the truth for sure, Wolf, and that's the fact that Sam hasn't played particularly well, and I think he would be the first to tell you that. And more than anything, offensively, we haven't found any rhythm. We haven't been able to run the ball effectively. We haven't been able to create any balance. We haven't been able to convert on third down to a point where it's embarrassing. And really, as you know, that's affected by everything. It's affected by not getting off the field. Defensively, the issues that are happening over on that side of the ball. But more than anything, we need to find our rhythm. We know that anytime there's new systems put in place, offensively or defensively, there's a transition. I mean, there was with Coach Arians. You know, we know that Carson didn't start off so hot. Larry moving inside. side was not a popular decision, but eventually things ironed itself out. I know the one thing that I'm, you know, fairly excited about is the way that this team has practiced with energy this week and really put their best foot forward trying to correct the mistakes that they've made in the past 2 weeks.
How does anything you just said as it relates to the offensive struggles affect the Josh Rosen timeline?
Well, I mean, I think that's the, you know, the popular question amongst every water cooler is when does the backup quarterback play, particularly a top 10 pick in the first round and a guy that, you know, we feel strongly has a bright future. I mean, we saw last night with the job that Baker Mayfield did and the way he energized that city. You know, it's a tough question. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, when the time is right, I know Josh will have his opportunity and I think he'll play well. At the same time, you never know how a guy's going to be affected. There have been guys in the past who've played too early, and it's crippled their career. I don't want to name any names, but I think a lot of us can point to certain players. And then, you know, there have guys who've come in and had success right away. But usually it's a rocky road. I mean, look at Troy Aikman, Peyton Manning. Both of those guys did not have a lot of success at the start. So, you know, Patrick Mahomes sat most of last year. I think he played one football game, and we've seen the kind of success that Patrick is having. So I don't think there's any exact science to that, but I think there's certainly a feeling of knowing when the time is right.
It's interesting you mentioned last night. I could feel it. You mentioned you could feel it, that the city of Cleveland, different situation with the losing, energized. It looked like the offensive players were energized. Everybody got energized by Baker Mayfield. Does the Cardinals offense need that shot of energy of Josh Rosen coming in?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's a secret that it needs something. But more than anything, like I said earlier, it needs some balance. It needs to be able to run the football effectively. We need to protect better. We need to run crisper routes. We need to get more separation. There's a number of things that go into it. Excuse me. And quite frankly, a lot of guys need to play better. I know they're being put into the right positions and positions to succeed. But as we know, when you're running a new offense, a new defense, sometimes there is a transition. And guys have to feel comfortable to play fast. Again, that's not an excuse. It's just the facts. And I think with time, we'll continue to grow and get better under both these schemes.
Steve, if you had your druthers, would you rather that Josh Rosen makes his debut in a situation where he doesn't start the game and suddenly you run him out there at some point, maybe after the half, or would you rather him actually get the start? Do you have a preference on that?
Well, if I had to choose, I mean, I think I would say to start because he's mentally prepared for that opportunity. But I don't think there's any rhyme or reason. Again, guys have come in and they've had success. He's got to be ready regardless. I mean, it could be a halftime of any game. It could be due to an injury. So, again, you know, he's just got to be ready. I know he's been working hard. He's looked fantastic in practice. And I think, again, like I said earlier, his future is really bright.
Steve Keim, General Manager, Arizona Cardinals, joining Doug and Wolf. You just touched on it. So I'd like you to expound on it, on what you're seeing. If a situation ever occurs and nobody's rooting for it, but we know it happens in the NFL, where you need to go to a backup, whether you're ready or not, do you see enough from Josh Rosen to believe he would be ready if he had to come in, you know, Sunday at halftime due to injury?
I do. I think just because of, you know, he's an intellectual guy, I think he has a great understanding of this offense already. And more than anything, for a young quarterback, I think you have to have command of the huddle. And I think that just seeing Josh early on, the way he works, the way he prepares, and the way he commands the huddle in practice, again, I'm very, very excited for what the future holds.
So basically, I'm watching Sam Bradford go out there in the inaccuracy, Steve, and thinking to myself, my goodness, this is the one thing I know this guy isn't. And it made me think earlier in the week that maybe wide receivers were out there busting routes. That has not been the case from what I've been told. Having said that right there, what have you seen from your wide receiver room so far this year?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination, Wolf. I think there have been times where routes have been run at different depths. I think there have been times where routes have been miscommunicated. And then I think there are times where just when you look at Sam's inaccuracies at times, I mean, it could be something as small as not getting his feet set or his mechanics. I mean, those are all the things that we know can attribute to a quarterback not playing well. So it's just the comfort of being in this offense and being new to it and some of the things that are asked to being done. And, you know, quite frankly, last week we didn't protect very well. I mean, we were beat inside, and they ran a number of games and stunts on us, which gave us quite a bit of trouble. So we have to continue to get better up front protecting as well.
Cards GM Steve Keim joins Doug and Wolf every Friday, 7:45, before a Cardinals football game. I'm wondering, Steve, when you look at the wide receiver room, there's one extreme that is, hey, be patient, relax, they're young, they'll get it. And there's the other extreme, which is, hey, the wide receiver room doesn't have enough talent in it right now. Where are you on that scale when you saw two, realizing it's only two games?
Well, as the GM, I'm going to be critical of the personnel side. I'm going to be the guy that says, listen, we either need to get better at that position or we need to see some of these young guys step up and make plays. Now, again, it's a combination of many things to me where guys have been open and Sam maybe hasn't seen them, or guys just need to make plays and create that separation that's not there. The one guy that has excited me that when he's got his hands on the balls is Christian Kirk. The few opportunities he's had, you see the run after the catch, you see the foot speed and the explosiveness, the ability to create separation. So he's a young guy that I think is really poised to have a great year. Chad, you know, he's in a position where he's got to show a little more consistency, particularly getting off press. We all know Larry can do it. And then you'd like to see a little bit more David Johnson in the passing game. I know the first game was difficult for him and he dropped a few balls, but I think that he and Chase Edmonds can be weapons out of the backfield.
Speaking of that room, I don't know. I know you're not in favor of evaluating other people's trades, but as it relates to you, was a fifth-round pick a bit much for you for a Josh Gordon? Was the interest not quite there? How did you feel about that trade? And did you think, oh, I wish we would have done that? Or did you think, no, we're happy where we are?
No, I mean, I'm not going to, discuss somebody else's trade or another player that's not on our team. But, you know, I think we look at every situation and determine whether we think it's best for this organization. And in that case, I think we know the writing was on the wall.
Steve, can you go ahead and juxtapose what you're seeing from Robert Kimdichie based on last year as what you're seeing in the first two games this year?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Robert is one of the few guys, in my opinion, who's played with consistency, played with energy, and has looked very explosive off the football. I mean, there are still times where he has to understand gap control and leverage and all those little things that come with that position. But for the most part, I've been very, very excited about where Robert's been, particularly where he's playing with an early foot injury. He has pushed through that, and again, I've seen consistency and constant disruption from him, which is exactly why we draft. After them.
Steve, I love the anger, fire, passion that you had in that press conference or that discussion you had with the media after the loss in Seattle many years ago, and how that scorned you and how you felt about that beatdown. Did you have a similar feeling coming off the game at the Coliseum?
Oh, 100%. I mean, listen, I mean, I take a lot of pride in not only this organization, but the job that I need to do. And, you know, there's no other way to look at it than to point the finger at yourself and to wonder why are certain things going wrong. You know, you can look at certain positions and feel like, you know, the level of talent is you know, in a position where we should be able to win. But at the same time, you have to understand the team concept and all those different things that play into it. So, but you know, I'm the first one to look at myself in the mirror, and I'm extremely frustrated right now, as well as I know all of our fans are. And it's certainly not something that I think that they deserve. I mean, our fans deserve better than this, and that's why we're putting our best foot forward and every day coming to work early and staying late. And I know we'll get this thing turned around.
Steve, really appreciate your time. As always, God bless you, buddy. I'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
There's Steve Keim joining Doug and Wolf, as he does every Friday at 7:45 on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. You can go to CoulterNissan.com, CoulterTempe.com, or CoulterOnCamelback.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, said Rosen's ready if called upon. So when is it time to make that call? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.